Well, good morning.
Just
so you're aware, if I get called out in the middle of this, yeah, we're that tragedy at NAS. Last 2 days, we've been with NBC, and I'm on call today. And if nothing breaks, then I won't have to go to work. But if it does, I have to leave. So Byron knows, and he'll take over right in the middle of my study here and make it happen. Anyway, it is a pleasure to be here this morning to talk. But before I get into my study, which it's just the season is an opportunity to share your faith in Christ. You know, the season's coming up, everybody's thinking Christmas, they're singing carols, it's an opportunity. But before we do that, I wanted to share just a little bit of some thoughts on this Muslim tragedy at NAS. You know, it's unfortunate that they call themselves the religion of peace, yet in their Bible, their Quran, whatever, there are numerous times where they talk about killing anyone who doesn't believe what they believe. It is a tragedy that we put up with this to begin with, that we have to tolerate this. Muslims, their whole concept, their whole game plan is to infiltrate an area, grow, reproduce. They have like 6 kids apiece. Eventually, they get powerful enough to elect people into politics, which we're seeing happening in America. And then they go and about to change the laws. They want to change the law to Sharia law. So after they've been elected, they try to change things. Currently in America, 70% of the Muslim men don't work. They just sit on welfare. Same thing in England. It's really sad. And after they get elected and they change the law, then they eliminate the original people. That's the battle plan for Muslim. You can learn all about it. It's all over the internet. It's what they practice. It's their whole strategy of life and existence. And that is tragic. In England right now, there are 10 major cities that are under Muslim mayors. They've got enough for the political world. They've been elected in. And there are places in Paris, and there are places in England you can't even go unless you're a Muslim. We were in Birmingham, and it was all Muslim, the entire society where we're at.
Michigan,
another place like that. So they call themselves the religion of peace. No, not even close to it. These kids get radicalized, they go crazy, they do what happened at NAS Pensacola. This kid had a party the night before, a dinner party where he invited his friends over, and they watched videos of assassinations, of mass killings. That was part of the party. Wow. And then he went to work the next day and shot up the people at the base. So it's a tragic thing. And I have a very difficult time. I've met Muslim people who say, well, we don't believe in that. But it's in your Bible. Yep. If you're accepting part of that book and not the other part of the book, I don't get it. The bottom line is it's all one and one for all. And that's sad. So I have a very difficult time dealing with any Muslim people in a positive way right now. After the base hit, I got the call at 7 o'clock in the morning on Friday, and active shooter at the base. Yep. Before I even got out there, I knew what was going on.
Really?
Yes, because of my background and some people we were dealing with. We knew that it was going to be somebody from one of the international people that were shooting it up. And then they wanted to keep it quiet, but they wouldn't tell you who it was until about noon, but everybody in the media knew about 9 in the morning. And we couldn't release it. But anyway, I did send it to Irma, and she erased it off her phone.
I was like, I'm
sorry. Anyway, the sad point is that's part of our lives and part of our existence. And we need to be aware of it, because it's going to continue creeping forward until they get what they want. It's a very sad place to be in our country right now. We need to be aware of it. Let's get to our lesson, though, which is a totally different direction here. It's the holidays. If you're going to talk to somebody about your faith in Christ, this is the perfect time to do it, because they're already thinking Christmas. What is Christmas all about? Even though it's the wrong time of the year, even when we know differently, even though the celebration came from, you know, pagan the world, whatever, we can at least discuss Christ at this time of the year, and people are paying attention. So let's take a look at our sheet here. For many people, sharing their faith and beliefs in God seems to be a difficult task. Not that they don't believe, but that explaining those beliefs comfortably can be hard to do. All right? And we can talk about how to make that easy. They worry that they might mess it up or say something wrong or confusing. I know people think that way, but I used to think that way when I was talking about my faith, especially when I was young. Oh, yeah, here's what I believe. And they, you know, you were worried that people might ask questions you couldn't answer. And that was a concern. This study will explore witnessing and how it can be a natural extension of your life. Number one, we're not selling Jesus. We're down in the street corners. We're not trying to sell Jesus and get some points or whatever it is. We share our beliefs and faith. Then the Holy Spirit moves in a person's heart and they are drawn to a belief in Christ or not. We share. We do not sell, okay? We talk about what we believe, and we do not sell. The salvation is not in your hands, but it's in God's hands. When you understand that, it takes some of the pressure off. My goal isn't to persuade this person to Jesus. My goal is to share with them my faith. And the Holy Spirit will then take from there. Okay, let's look at some verses here. Let's go to Romans chapter 8, verse 29 and 30, if someone could get there for us. It makes us realize that God's in charge of this whole program. Go ahead.
For whom he did foreknow, he did also, he did predestinate to be conformed in the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified.
It's a big plan. It's a plan that God has put in place. Our job is to share that plan and let the Holy Spirit take it from there. You know, when I talk to somebody about my faith in Christ, and we'll talk about this later in the study, how I live, how I react to things, how I deal with the world, how I share my love of whatever it might be, that's a reflection of Christ. And people will then, one, act accordingly with you or ask questions or want to know more about it. Okay? There are so many things we can do on a daily basis that can show love and caring that go beyond what other people do. And then they go, wow, that's really nice. And then you might have an opportunity to share. Okay? We don't share the love of Christ in order to win favor with God. I've already got that. I got 100% favor. There's nothing more I can get. I share the love of God because it's the right thing to do. Because it's overflowing in my body. It's because of what I've been given already. That's the reason to do it. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians 2, 13 through 14. You guys have this on your paper. You should get there earlier, you know? I'm just saying, I'm giving you a little lesson here on how to handle Dave's teaching. All right. Chapter 2, yeah, 13 through 14, somebody.
But we are bound to give thanks away to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth.
Keep going. Verse 14.
Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. Do you feel that? If you're saved, do you feel the blessing of that? How lucky we are to be here. I think everyone in this room has got salvation. I'm not sure about those watching, and that's, we want to reach out to that. But what a wonderful blessing, and what a wonderful place to be. That was the plan. You heard it through somebody preaching. You heard it through somebody teaching, and you accepted it. It was wonderful. If you're saved, you heard the gospel and believe. Excuse me. No one sold you on Christ. They didn't say, hey, here's the benefits. 1, 2, 3, 4. And then later on, you get these benefits. Five. No. They explained to you what salvation meant. And you accepted, okay? Our job is to lovingly share and tell others about what we know and experience. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You can certainly get it by reading and get saved. But it is much easier to hear. And why? Because we explain it, just like this class. We're explaining these concepts and understandings so that you can apply them to your life. And if you're not saved, we're explaining how Christ died for your sins, was buried, and resurrected again. And your acceptance of that process, your belief in that process, gives you salvation forever. That's the program God set up, not man. And if you participate in that program, it is by your acceptance, your faith. People get emotional. They're like, oh, I'm not feeling it. You don't have to feel anything. You have to understand. And understanding that what Christ did was for your salvation, and you accept and believe in it, it's done. That's where salvation comes from, not from some emotional experience, rolling on the floors, singing and dancing, or whatever it might be. Okay? And when you understand that that's where salvation is, you can then rest in it. Because you're not looking for more. You're understanding. Knowledge places you into a saving message with Christ, or a relationship with Christ. That's where that message starts. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19 and 20. One of my favorite verses. Somebody read those for me. We're going to talk about that. It's almost emotional. 5:19-20, 2 Corinthians.
To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing the trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, that be ye reconciled to God.
Wonderful. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world. God was in Christ on that cross. Think about that for a minute. Does it get any more personal than that? Mm-mm. We match that personal with our faith. We don't work for salvation. Our faith is just as personal in the acceptance of Christ. It's a one for one. You follow me? And we stand perfected in Christ. We're going to get to that in a little bit by being in the body of Christ. But the point is, when you're sharing salvation with people, get them to understand God put the effort into it. We simply participate by faith. We do not participate by being good enough or working hard enough or doing our tithing or whatever it might be. That has nothing to do with salvation. Okay? And people get that totally confused. And then what happens? After we are saved, verse 20, now we are ambassadors for Christ. This is where the daily activity comes in. This is where at the holiday season, helping somebody, doing something, stepping up, whatever the case might be. You know, stepping in and going, oh, I'll take care of that. I got some extra money, whatever. Because people are struggling or whatever it might be. Opportunities are everywhere, yes.
I don't want to make a comment. Starting with everything you're talking about as far as it's not selling. In evangelism classes, I don't care where you go, the principles of evangelism is based on their faith, not the faith of Christ. And yep. So the system that they use is getting you to accept this, then accept that, then accept the other thing. It is a process of sales. As a matter of fact, as I was trained in sales, you got to have little agreements along the way.
Moving forward.
Trying to get them to close at the end. Mm-hmm. And that's the reason why they say, I made a decision for Christ. They made this acceptance, that acceptance, and it's not really you accepting Christ, it's that he accepts you.
Yeah.
And here's the point. They look at, and they don't even believe the Word of God. I went in there, and I'm talking about the professors that I had. They don't believe in the Word of God. He said, God, I don't know why God didn't deserve his Word, but he did. So they don't even believe the Word of God. These people that spread evangelism today don't even believe the Word of God.
They certainly don't understand it, right?
Right. So here's what I'm saying is how I got saved. The Word of God is a quickening spirit. In other words, I didn't take that as the words of man. I took it as this is the Word of God. And I, from the get-go, believed that was the Word of God. And I was convicted by the Holy Spirit. I was baptized into the body of Jesus Christ. And I was saved and sealed unto the day of redemption.
Wonderful.
They have no idea what that means.
No, no. Because there's no sealing of anything.
No, because it's sales.
Right.
And so evangelism today is based on what you did,
right?
Not on what Christ did.
Right,
it's
right.
Just the opposite.
And they changed the Bibles to match that too.
Right, exactly.
Instead of the faith of Christ, it's the faith in Christ.
And so when we say this, that sharing your faith, mm-hmm. they think, oh, well, this is just the same. And so they interpret what we say as being the same as what they're saying.
Sure.
And it's not.
Oh, no, totally different world.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I just had to share
that. No, that's fine, no problem at all. Our job is to represent God in the world and preach and teach the gospel. That's what we do. And this holiday season is a great opportunity for that. We are to show men God's program of salvation, which was a great mystery. This is a great time to bring up the fact that this was a mystery, guys. And they're like, really? What do you mean? Well, let's take a look at it, okay? Let's look at some verses here. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 2 through 9. I'll let you get there, and I'll read these. Give you a second to get there. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 2 through 9. When you share with somebody this great mystery, you're going to get them to start thinking. And when you get them to start thinking, then you can start sharing salvation from a different perspective than what they hear in the Christmas carols. Okay? I mean, it's just so true. Ephesians 3, 2 through 9. This is Paul. If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, you toward, tough English there, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. Revelation, he made, what mystery, what is this? As I before had talked to you in a few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. He wants them to get this. Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of man, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. And here's the mystery, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and the same body and partakers of the promise in Christ by the gospel. Wherefore I am made minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am the least among the saints. And you can explain this whole program to them. How Paul persecuted these Jews. And now look what happens. It is grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches in Christ and make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world had been hid in Christ who created all things by Jesus Christ. The mystery, unknown, didn't exist. Before Paul got it, it was unknown. The 12 apostles had no idea what the mystery was. The 12 apostles had no idea that the Gentiles would be brought in. Jesus walked the earth and did not deal with the Gentiles. He dealt with the Jews. That was the program. Paul comes along, the chief among sinners, who's out there persecuting the Jews and killing them for their belief in Jesus as what? As not the Savior we have today, but as God coming back to set up the kingdom. Okay?
Messiah.
He's out there killing them. And then God says, stop. This is a bigger picture here, Paul, and let's have you tell the story. What an amazing revelation he must have had. It must have blown his mind. I can only imagine. Yes?
Well, it's really amazing that I'm talking about the nominal churches now. We'll start with Peter and talking about repentance and baptism and all the things, which is something that they do. And what we're talking about is something, the exact opposite. They look at Peter as being an example. He lived right, he acted right, he did right.
Sure.
Because he repented of his sin. There's no repentance on our side.
No.
That comes after you get saved. And the whole point is that Paul was the chiefest of sinners, and Peter was this big saint. So naturally, they want to go ahead, and they want to follow after Peter. And so we're preaching something totally, radically different. And so my leader, my apostle, is the chief of sinners. And I'm following after him. So what do they say? You've got to have a good testimony. I don't have a good testimony. Jesus has the kind of testimony, and Jesus accepted me as a filthy, rotten, hell-deserving sinner, and that's the wonderful grace of God.
Amen.
See, they won't admit that.
Yeah.
And see, that's the problem.
Well, because they want to control.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so anyway, I'm really glad you're bringing this up, because it's really
It's the time of season to talk about it. Opportunities here. You know, I did the Scott thing. I had one lesson I was going to do earlier in the week, and then after the NAS disaster, I changed to a different lesson. And then this morning, I changed to this one because it's the holidays. I remembered it. It's like, wow, let's go and talk about this. You know, we are ambassadors for Christ. We are the only thing in the world that is an example that we can share with the world of what Christ means. Okay? And that opportunity is there all the time. In the way you live, in the way you do things, in the way you respond to anger. When you get mad at somebody, how do you handle apologizing or dealing with that issue? None of us get angry, right? We're all just saints. Yeah, that never happens. Okay? You know, I'm actually a very, very patient person, but when I finally get to that point, which is what, like once every 10 years or something like that? You know.
No comment.
Okay. It's true. And I have to stop myself after I go back and say, I apologize, I was way out of line there, I got so angry, but let's talk about the issue, whatever, you know, and get into it and discuss it. Yes?
Ephesians 4:26 has you covered.
Does it? All right, good. Read it.
Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath.
There we go. Good point. Very good point. Opportunity. It's the holidays. The strongest form is witnessing in your life, I've got written down here. Actually, 4.2. Our job is to make all men see what this is, the fellowship of the mystery. That's our goal. When we share the fellowship of the mystery, we share what Christ did for us. We share what he did. The focus is on him. It's not on my ego. It's not on what I can do or be. Okay? How many times, I had an aunt. I love her. She's gone. But her whole thing was, I gave to the Waterfront Mission. I gave to these people. I gave to Pacific Mission. Her whole thing was giving, which was fine. But she was using that for her value with God. I hope she was saved. I hope it was the finished work of Christ only that saved her. But she had the wrong motivation afterwards to win blessings or whatever the case may be. How many times have we heard that? Do this and God will bless you. Television evangelism. You know, do this and this and this and you will have a church with 5,000 people that like me.
Tenfold.
Yeah, tenfold. Oh, yeah. Yes, indeed. Before I understood years ago, I was pumping that money. I never got no tenfold back. I just got poor. I got the poor fold back. You know? The reality is, it's not about what we do. Once we are saved, once we have accepted what Christ did, and it's really that simple, and people make it difficult. So in this season, you need to help them understand this is a simple thing. This isn't performing. I don't have to be good enough to win favor with God. I don't have to do this and this and this before God will accept me. God accepts me when I accept what he did. It's an accept situation.
Yeah.
When I recognize that God sent his son to die on this earth, a tragic death, but for my benefit, so that I could accept and believe that. Yes, how difficult is it to accept that it is what it is? It's a simple explanation. But when you commit and accept to that, that's where the salvation happens. That's when you are placed into the body of Christ. And when I'm in the body of Christ, spiritually speaking, obviously the physical body of Christ is not on the earth right now. When I'm in the body of Christ, spiritually speaking, where does God see me? Perfect. Perfect. As perfect as he. As perfect as Christ. Now don't say that to too many people in the modern religion that I can be as perfect as Christ, because they're not going to buy into that. Because you know what? If you're doing this and this and this for the church and this and this and this for the church, I'm controlling you. That's how you make the business of religion. That's where the churches are today. Huge churches, big overheads. I drive down the street, I see these monster buildings that are a block long. I can't even begin to imagine what the mortgage on those places are, let alone just the heating bill, okay? The reality is, none of that matters. What matters is whether you've accepted that what Christ did, okay? Whether you've said, oh, I'm going to apply that to my life. Yes, I accept that, and I live peacefully and joyfully because of it. And then I can give that love back. There's nothing more you're going to get from God other than what he's already given you. Okay? All your spiritual blessings in heavenly places, they're all set up, folks. They're all done. Okay? You can't work for those. You can enjoy them. You can share them. You can give them back to the world. But they're already yours when you accept. It is a very peaceful and wonderful place to be during the holidays, to be at peace with your Creator. To not have this angst going on. What does Christmas mean? Am I doing enough? Am I being good enough? Have I showed up enough at church? Blah, 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 blah. Okay? You want a religion that's all about performance? Look at the Muslim religion. 100% performance. Not only is it performance, I learned this during all this chaos with this shooting at the base, learning about Muslim religions while everybody's talking. If you don't do enough for Allah, he cannot even accept you at the end, no matter what. But if you shoot somebody who's an infidel, you immediately get to go.
And you take your own life out.
Yeah, your whole life have to go with it, right?
Right.
Right. You have to go with it.
That's an absolute gift.
Which is what this kid in the base did. He goes immediately to heaven. Okay? Yes.
So he thinks.
Yeah.
Right. One thing I wanted to kind of say, as far as being careful how we say things to them, and as far as their interpretation, because sometimes we say things a certain way, and that's really not what we're meaning. Like, for example, words do mean things.
Mm-hmm.
Like the word acceptance. In other words, that the foundation of acceptance is the basis of what you do.
Okay.
By definition.
Right. It defines you.
Right. It defines the action. And so it's not that we love God. It's that he first loved us.
Yep.
In other words, when the Bible talks about believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. What that means is the Lord gives us the faith because of the Word of God. We know it's the Word of God, we know that that's it, and we believe. It has nothing to do with our acceptance. And so...
believe acceptance, how you word it, right?
So you follow what I'm saying. So I'm not really trying to put blame or poke holes at anything. It's just a matter of communicating and see, because what happens is they go back and they turn that's the same thing that I'm saying.
Yeah.
And they turn it around. And it has nothing to do with what I'm saying. In other words, it's all about what Jesus has done, and he is... given us the gospel message, and it's the power of God unto salvation. You have nothing to do with it. And it's all been done. You don't do anything. And so theirs is, you know, something I did. They put their finger on something I did. When it's not what you did, it's already been done.
That's right. Finished.
And that's communicating that is very important.
Yeah, it's very important people understand that when we're talking about the plan of salvation. So let's take a look at how we can present our faith. We are sinful. That's a good beginning here. We are all sinful and cannot be with God. This people somewhat understand, okay? They kind of get it. But you know what? It's good to bring these verses up for them during the holidays if they want to know more. These are simple verses. I'm not going to read all of them here. But Romans chapter 3, verse 23, for all sin and come short of the glory of God. doesn't get simpler than that, okay? Romans 1, 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of man who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Get people to recognize their sin state. Guess what? If they do not accept their sinful state, they'll never be saved. You have to get to the point where you realize, one, I am sinful. Two, I can't do it on my own. I can't get out of this hole. This hole was by my nature of man, the evil that exists in the world today, and the only way I'm going to get out of this hole is to accept the finished work of Christ. I keep doing that, but there's nothing on the board here. I just like this gesture, okay? Just picture a cross here, okay? Anyway. Yeah, that's fine. You have to get to the point where you know you need Christ. You have to get to the point where you know you need salvation. Now, I mean, if somebody's running around in their lives and thinks that I'm being good enough, I'm just okay, I'm fine, I'm going to be okay, they're not. They're not. Sin is a major thing. Yes.
Yeah, I was going to say about the biggest thing that people have a problem with is they don't want to have mercy.
No.
They're not that bad, and that's the problem. They've never hit the bottom.
Yeah, they have never admitted that they hit the bottom. Okay.
Yeah.
They don't know they're at the bottom.
Yes, right. Exactly. Yeah. We're all we are all bottom feeders. You know? Very true, and that's the reality of it. If you do not recognize that. And everybody knows they've made mistakes. Everybody knows they've done terrible things. Everybody knows they've done awful things. You don't have to push that too hard. You can get that message. If they're talking to you right now about what your faith means, they know that. But you need to bring it up. There's a couple of verses for you there, okay? We are justified by our faith or belief in what Christ accomplished on the cross. Here's where it's important to make sure they get this right. Let's go to some verses. Romans chapter 4, verse 5.
But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifies him God, that his faith is counted to righteousness.
Okay, a lot of churches will read that. They're not sure they fully understand it, so we're going to read some more verses here. But yes, the faith or belief gives us the righteousness to be perfected. Okay? Let's understand that. Ephesians chapter 2, 8 and 9. We've heard this many times. For by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Again, they understand this idea that, hey, it's nothing I can do here. This is something God gives us. Now, this third verse is very important for them to get. Okay? Let's go to Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. Because they need to understand it is the faith of Christ that allows us to do this. These other two verses will help set that up. But if you don't have Christ's faithfulness, allows us to participate. Let's take a look at that. Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. Anybody?
Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ.
Stop there a second. Stop there a second.
There it is.
So many churches change that verse.
Yep.
They change it to the faith in Christ.
Right.
But yet, why would they have the second line here? Let's continue on.
Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ.
Yep.
On the three of the breaks.
No, go ahead.
Not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified.
Take them through this verse very carefully. If they have the wrong Bible, then you got to get them into a King James. Because all the other Bibles could change this.
All
of them. It is not our faith that saves us. It is Christ's faithfulness that we participate in. We choose to participate in the faithfulness of Christ. That's a whole different concept than religion teaches. It's a radical concept in religion. What does that do? Where does it put the power in Christ? Where does it put the ego for Dave? Non-existent. It's all of what Christ has done, not what Dave does. Okay? Change those verses around. Then it becomes me. Then it becomes religion. Then I better dole out the towels as Scott used to do, and I better get the tithing going. I'll never forget doling out the towels. It's just a great story.
It is.
The reality is...
Nice towels.
It is. Exactly. Look at the verse here. Knowing that a man is not justified by works of the law, but by what? The faith of Christ. It's as simple as can be, but yet the church misses it. Then why would they have this second line? Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ. You don't need two lines if it's just going to be the faith in Christ. The grammar's wrong here, folks, if that's the point. You don't need the clarification. You don't need the second line, okay? That we might be justified by the faith of Christ, not by the works of the law, For the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. They know that, okay? Let's get there and get people to understand that. Let's just look at Philippians chapter 3, verse 9. Anybody?
And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith.
All right. Not being found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but which is through what? The faith of Christ. Okay?
But you can see how Satan has even gotten into the Bibles and changed it in order to confuse.
Yeah, totally. When you turn it around, when you go to the faith in Christ, then it's me. What am I doing to get this job done? The faith of Christ, what did he do that I accept? You know?
This is why it's so important that we really preach rightly dividing the word of truth, because it's only found in Paul's writings, even in the King James.
Totally. That's right.
It's a mystery.
Yep.
That is the mystery of the gospel.
Yeah. And it's the mystery that we participate in that is our salvation. Without it, we have no salvation. Done. Period. Finished. If we believe in Christ and what he did, our faith or belief will justify us in God's eyes. Okay? Our faith, go down a couple lines there. Our faith places us in the body of Christ, the same body that has already paid our sins. This is the mechanics of salvation. I explain this sometimes and say, here's how the inner workings go. Okay? Here's how the cogs turn. Here's why salvation happens. Your faith does what? And let's take a look. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 13 and 14.
For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many.
We are all baptized, Jews, Gentiles, it doesn't matter. Today our faith baptizes us into that body, that unity of Christ, that spiritual body of Christ. That's how we are sanctified. It's as simple as that. Unless you're in the body of Christ, you're not sanctified. You could be sanctified, but being in the body of Christ, how could you have sinned? Think about that for a minute, folks. For all the people in religion out there going, I got to do this and this and this to make God happy. Oh my God, blah, da, 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 da. If I'm in the body of Christ, and that's what it tells me, how can I be in the body of Christ and have God see nothing less than perfection? When he looks down on Dave. And thank God he does. Because ask Irma, I'm only perfect 98% of the time. I slip 2% here and there, you know? The reality is, what a wonderful place we can be. And during the holiday season, what a great thing to share with people. I'm in the body of Christ. God sees me as perfected. He doesn't see sin anymore. He sees his son, Jesus. And I'm in it. Spiritually speaking, I'm positioned in it. Ephesians chapter 4, 4 through 6. There is one body and one spirit, even as you call in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. It doesn't get any better. If you're not full of joy reflecting on this, then you need some serious pharmaceuticals. You know? The reality is, our position in Christ gives us the joy and the love and all the things we can do all year round to help others, to reach out, to do something, to make a difference. As simple as, and Dave does this, you got a whole crowd of people there. They're all in the media. We all know each other. There's just 15 people with cameras, and we're all hanging out there. Who calls Domino's and says, deliver me 3 pizzas to this place. Here's the address. And the Domino's guy shows up, and everybody gets to eat. I do that all the time. They know I do that. Why? Because I'm in a wonderful place in my creation and existence with God. And people talk, and we talk about it. This one lady from that one I told you about, the neighborhood lady, her and I had a great conversation the other day. Why not? What a way to make a dent. These guys are all starving. They're all fat like me, but they're starving. They haven't eaten for a few hours. They're all out there. There are no skinny camera people because you got to haul this gear around. It just doesn't work. You got to have some beef. Anyway, you bring in the pizzas. And Domino's like, where do you want to do it? at the front of the bridge. What? Yeah, right at the front of the bridge. You'll see a whole bunch of people standing there. That's where you need to deliver. You can do all sorts of things. Doesn't have to be complex to make a difference, you know?
I want to make a scripture that I preached this at First Baptist Church in Milton here. And anyways, it really created an uproar, and because I challenged them about their faith. And what we're talking about, whether it's their faith or whether it's the faith of Christ. And anyways, it says, examine yourself whether you be in the faith.
Yeah.
And anyways, I came to find out because people went to the pastor afterwards. They complained that I preached such a message as that because they're not supposed to question their faith.
Yeah.
After all, what I did was good enough, and therefore I'm eternally saved, and I'm not going to look back at that or examine that again.
What they did, doesn't even work.
Doesn't even. That's the whole point. I was talking to a bunch of lost people.
Yeah.
The Masons, they were really highly upset. I mean, they cornered me and said, I can worship the Son of God if I want to. And so, I mean, there's a lot of people that came unglued.
Yeah.
And so you need to expect that whenever you start putting on the, in other words, what I have is no good. That's correct.
That's right. Well, look at the next verse here. 2 Corinthians 18 and 19. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now, therefore, we are no longer strangers or foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Oh, fine. Ephesians 2, sorry. Okay, we are fellow citizens. We are what? The inheritance. We are as Christ in terms of perfection. Boy, that's going to ruffle feathers. But it's true. And we'd have to be as Christ, or we couldn't be there. Think of the logic here, guys. Let's get back to the mechanics of salvation. If I have any kind of sin left in me, I cannot be with God.
That's right.
Simple as that. That's why it's a finished work, not a partial work. The finished work of Christ on the invisible cross right here. Okay? It's so true. It is finished. And if you're working for your salvation out there, maybe watching this, I'm doing this and this and this, God's certainly going to love me. I'm like, no, it's your faith. Believe in the finished work of Christ, period. Plus nothing, add nothing, nothing more to it, and then you sit in the finished work of Christ. And we become a part of the body of Christ. And what a wonderful place to be. Let's continue on before I run out. Let's go down, flip down to Romans chapter 8, 1 and 2 there, the verses that I've got there. I'll read it out loud, but you might get there. For there is no condemnation to them which are in Christ. Let's see, in Christ. That would be the body of Christ, right? I'm getting the 5-minute hand, so that means I got 20 minutes to go. So okay. Who work not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made us free from the law of sin and death. Okay, this is how we are saved, our faith in what Christ accomplished on the cross. It is our payment for sin, and we are when we accept this by the faith, we are saved. We are at peace with God. Too many people during the holiday seasons are not at peace with anything, let alone the Creator. Okay? You can read the second verse later, 2 Corinthians 5:17, talks about being a new creature in Christ. Once saved, our spiritual home, I've got written down, is in heaven. We are identified with Christ. Let's go to this one real quick. Romans chapter 6, verse 5 through 7. Someone can read that.
For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is free from sin.
Right. Do we always do the right thing? No. But we know better. We understand, and we have the power to do the right thing. Are we going to sin? Absolutely. Our second nature is going to get in the middle of that. It is not I, but the sin within me that's going to happen.
The flesh.
The flesh, yes. There we go. Let them understand that. If somebody's a new creature in Christ, let them understand that balance. It's really not a balance because you're not balancing the sides. But let them understand that position so they can stay focused on the right things and they can accept themselves when they do the wrong things and they can atone for doing the wrong things with their friends. I say atone, apologize, whatever it might be. You're not going to be perfect, but you're going to be perfected. And let's go down. You're going to find yourself with an inheritance guarantee. Let's go down to my next point. You can read those other verses later if you like. The Holy Spirit is our earnest or guarantee of our place in heaven. This is important. The modern religion does not teach this. They teach you better keep doing these things afterwards in order to win favor with God, because you know you might fall apart, you might fall out or whatever. It is given as our insurance of salvation. Romans 8:14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Are you there? Romans chapter 8, verse 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness to our spirit that we are the children of God. Wow, how wonderful. Ephesians 1:13-14. In whom ye have trusted, that ye have heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, of whom you also believe, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Sealed, not sealed for today because you handed out towels. Sealed for tomorrow because you tithed. No, we are sealed. That's how we're placed in the body of Christ. Once you're in there, folks, you can't get out. Can you live miserably? Absolutely. Your choice, you can live as miserable as you want. But God's going to see you perfected. Totally different attitude, a totally different look at all these things. Ask the person, do they understand this stuff? Talk to them. Okay? And then ask them, are they ready to accept this? Are they ready to accept the finished work of Christ? Make them ask those questions so they can think about it. You follow me? Again, you want them to focus on the workplace. All right? This is not an emotional feeling, but an understanding and an acceptance of what God has done for you. Salvation is not about emotion. Can you feel good about it? Sure. At peace with God? Absolutely. I cannot remember back. I was saved in seventh grade. I can't remember the peace I had at that moment, but I have peace now. The transition at that moment must have been amazing. You know, I can't remember it all though. Do you want this for yourself? You simply have to ask for it. Do you want it now? You can pray with me, whatever, at that point, okay? And then somebody who's accepted the finished work of Christ is going to need teaching. Afterwards, invite them to your classes, do things, pass these papers along to them if you can't get them to come, whatever, so they can learn. Because the more they learn, the more joy they'll have. Are they saved? Yes. But do they want to learn and have joy? Do they want to be able to share it with others? Absolutely. All that comes from knowledge. All that comes from studying like we do here. The more you know, the more you can give away. It's as simple as that. And the more you know, the more joyful it becomes. After a billion years, you know, I'm still sitting in here, and Pastor, you know, Byron will get into something that I think I know well, and all that, and all of a sudden, oh, there's a new perspective on that. Something new. That's interesting. And it's wonderful. Even old dogs can learn new tricks. Okay? Yeah. All right, let's close with a word of prayer to give us that opportunity this season to reach others. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to study together, first of all. But then we ask that you give each of us an opportunity to touch the lives of somebody with the love of Christ in this next week. And if they want to know more, give us the words to share it with them. Not sell Jesus, but share our faith, what it means to us, and how it happens. Help them to understand that simple faith in Christ becomes their salvation because they're placed into the body of Christ, where they stand perfected in front of God's eyes. Give each of us that opportunity this week in your name. Amen.